Welcome back to Arts About, everybody.
This is a show about art, Sally. It's a work of art in itself.
It is indeed, isn't it? Brought to you once again by the generosity of the McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. Good morning, John Baird, cultural sounding board and artist in residence. How are you this week?
Very good.
That's good.
I'm going to have a chat today about John Brack.
Oh.
Bernard Buffet, ball gowns, the colour pink and detergent.
Oh my God, it's a busy one. Are you going to somehow or other try and weave a link between all those things?
Oh yeah, they're all linked.
Well, that sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to get to that. Now, there was a bit of a debacle last week for our listeners who are regulars may have realised they played the wrong show. So if you missed the fabulous interviews that we did with James McPherson and Christian Gunderson, then you can podcast those episodes from the station website. So huge apologies to all those. It will be played again during this week at different times. So check up on the Facebook page and we'll let you know when that might be have been. That's not going to help,
be.
Is it? Or will be, indeed. Now, listing the credits of our first guest in the studio this morning would just take about the entire program. So suffice to say at this point, choreographer to the stars Jason Coleman joins us in the studio to talk Cabaret Cathedral. And if you don't know what that is already, you very soon will. We've also got photographer Celie Brandt. She's just returned to her roots to live and work in Melbourne after a life in Asia. And she's going to talk us through her first Australian exhibition of her fabulous photographs at the Merrick's House Art Gallery. Cliff's going to be back, thank goodness. And so while John and I get Jason Coleman into the hot seat, here are Les Negres Vertes, who always put me in the mood for a bit of cabaret. It's unlikely that many of you out there haven't at some time or another seen some of Jason Coleman's work. His face has been a regular on TV when he posted Pop Stars and So You Think You Can Dance Australia, or on the stage in musicals and also the big screen. But his most impressive body of work is as a choreographer, and he has worked on and with some of the most biggest and the best in the world. As well as choreographing an incredible list of musicians like Christine Arnoux, Tina Arena, Sheena Easton, Chrissy Amphlett, Human Nature, Bardot, John Farnham, Chaka Khan, Vanessa Amorosi, and even the Bee Gees, he has choreographed the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympic Games in 2000. And that was seen by several billion viewers around the world and subsequently led him to become the go-to man for choreographing large worldwide opening spectaculars. When he's not running his dance school, the Ministry of Dance in North Melbourne, he's still creating extraordinary corporate extravaganzas all over the place. And as we all know down here, last year he teamed up with James McPherson and created the sellout Spiegelicious and Animalistic shows in the Spiegel Tent in Sorrento. And this summer he's bringing us more. After moving back to his childhood locale, he's creating a new theatre for Rye over summer. The Cabaret Cathedral makes its debut on the foreshore, and we are to be the lucky audiences of two new shows, Razzle Dazzle and Humanimals, that will go into it. They're in rehearsal now, and we are thrilled to have him give us some take on it this morning. He's in the studio with us today. Good morning, Jason Coleman, and thank you so much for coming into Arts About.
Oh, please, thank you very much for having me. You know, you mentioned there back to my locale. Where, you know, I'm a peninsula boy, born and bred, and it's such a thrill to me to come back to the peninsula to be able to create world-class entertainment at the place under which where I was created.
Mm.
I love being from the peninsula. When I was 16, I couldn't wait to get out of here. You know?
No.
You know,
well,
you
when
want
you're
to fly.
16, of
yeah,
course.
I wanted to see the world, you know, but I've come back. I've just bought a house down there, and I see it through different eyes now. I think it's the most magical place, and I'm thrilled to be back on the peninsula. And, you know, it's funny. In your life, you're just going along and living your daily life, and it's... I don't read my own biography very often. It's really weird to sit here and hear you say all that. I'm like, wow, you know, when you say all of that, I've done all right, haven't I? You don't think about it. You're just living. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you so much. So what have we done to deserve you coming back here? I guess, as you say, it's a beautiful place, and it's great. It's great to be back in a place where you've grown up and bringing the stuff that you've learned back to your roots. Tell us about Razzle Dazzle and Humanimals.
Razzle Dazzle and Humanimals. Last year, I created two delicious shows in Sorrento in the Spiegel Tent called Spiegelicious and Animalicious, and the Spiegel Tent's quite restricted because it's such a small space, and what I do is big shows, you know. I choreograph the biggest and shows on earth, and so I wanted a space that had more height in it, that was going to be less restrictive. And so by building the Cabaret Cathedral, which we are, which we'll talk about in a moment, I've been able to make shows that are of an equivalence of what I did last year, but bigger and better.
And higher is my guess.
And higher and faster and, you know, everything about it. So it's the same good old-fashioned Razzle Dazzle's, the same good old-fashioned feel-good show with the basic premises of the old-fashioned Hollywood musical, you know, making you feel good, evoking emotion from you through fantastic song and dance and sensational circus. Not in a scary, freaking everybody out way that a lot of the shows are doing now. There's nothing about swallowing swords or inflicting pain or shocking anybody. This is good old-fashioned entertainment and fun. And in the kids' show, I have to tell you, I obsessed about the kids' show last year, and I'm obsessing about it at the moment. I've been writing it all weekend, and the double entendre is the most important thing to me in the kids' show. I've got great costumes and great stimulus and a great stage and set to stimulate the kids. I sort of worry not about that. But what I want to do is amuse the parents, particularly, you know, the main...
who have to endlessly sit through childish things, often the movies and so on, and the Wiggles and so on. So
one of my favourite movies of all time, my top five favourite movies of all time, Finding Nemo would be right up there because it's just so clever. It's got such great double entendre, great hook at the start, and you follow it and you giggle your way along even though it's an animation. And my kids' shows, I like to think of them in that same way there. So it's mostly mums and grandmas, but there's a few dads that come along as well, and they laugh their way through the shows. And I've got some really fun and sort of irreverent Aussie sort of humour and sarcasm through this great, glorious, epic, big, colourful story, which is also educational about animals and humans and the way we interact and the way we need to interact and live together. So that's the basic message.
Oh, that's a lovely message. I've got goosebumps. Now, I'm really interested in this Cabaret Cathedral. Tell us, what is it?
I'm so excited about this. I've got an incredible team of artisans and that we work on projects around the world, and we are now calling ourselves artisans and urbanologists.
Oh, I like that.
I know, it's fancy, isn't it?
It is fancy.
We are building a world's first theatre out of shipping containers. And so it's a fully mobile pop-up theatre. Now, you won't see a single shipping container on the outside nor on the inside of the theatre. The outside of the theatre is wrapped to look like a Parisian cathedral, like a palace. And it's essentially sort of wrapped almost like a billboard. And then when you come through the doors and enter the inside, it's got a gold and red Baroque bespoke feeling to it. So it is the structure itself is supported by shipping containers. The reasons for doing this is several. Firstly, shipping containers are actually becoming a bit of a problem in the world because there are so many of them, and there's no way to destruct them. They are, you know, they're big and they're heavy. And so there's a lot of ecological architecture going on around the shipping container.
Yeah.
So we're sort of following that path. Plus, for us, we can go anywhere in the world with one container, and you just have the rest of the theatre dropped off. Whether you're in, you know, London, Paris, New York, Munich, Singapore, doesn't matter where you go, there's shipping containers everywhere in the world. So they are the
standardized sizes, of course.
Standardized sizes.
Yes, and they're built to interlock.
Yes. Now, depending on the city we're playing, we can make them bigger or smaller because it's like theatre by Jenga. You know, theatre by blocks. So it's a massively fantastic, exciting project that myself and my team have thought of. We were sitting around in Cairns doing a show this year. We were sitting around backstage, and I said to my production guy, Mitch, who's a very smart guy, I said, mate, we need our own venue. We need our own venue that's bigger that we can take anywhere. And we're sitting there, and at exactly the same time, we looked at each other and we went, because we're sitting in a shipping container backstage having this conversation, and we looked at each other and we looked at the walls and we looked back at each other and we went, shipping containers. And now 3 short months later, we're sitting here, we're in rehearsals, and the whole project's about to launch. It's massively exciting.
That's really, really...
So actually, the whole demountable theatre thing, Spiegel tents have... like, you know, ubiquitous almost these days. There's quite a lot of them around. And that being the demountable theatre form, you know, and the shipping container thing is quite interesting, I think. I love the look of it. I love the way it's going to be scan and look. And it reminds me of the whole kind of milk crate thing. You know, milk crates, which were very utilitarian objects, but they suddenly took on a lot more power in the design world when people started using them for all sorts of other things and sticking them together. There's lots of, it's quite a lot of fine art sculptural stuff around in milk crates. They're used for all sorts of things. And there is a connection there. And I'm looking forward to seeing that sitting down there on the Rye foreshore. I think it's going to look fabulous down there.
Fantastic. You know, it, I think it's going to look brilliant there on the foreshore as well, right next to the carnival.
So. I'll be able to see it from my place.
Ah, well, we must be neighbours because I could see it from my place as well. Right. We must catch up. Do you know, the Spiegel Tents was fantastic and I really enjoyed the environment, the Belgium environment in there. But we had a bit of an issue as we toured around the country in that we would get out to try to market the Spiegel Tent and people would say, oh, I've seen the show before. And we're like, no, there's so many Spiegel tents and there's 17 Spiegel tents and there's 17 shows and this is a different show. And so here we've got something that's amazing, it's unique, it's incredible, it's a world first. And it's going to be something interesting for the people to come and see, the theatre in itself, let alone the two amazing shows that I'm going to put on inside.
Does it have soundproofing qualities as well as...
We're looking at the acoustics coming in. The fortunate thing for me is I take the stuff I do off the biggest stuff in the world, so Clifton's and the biggest organisations that put on, you know, the Beyoncé and the Rolling Stones. It's those same people, and we're coming back into this intimate environment. So I've got the best of the best of the best guys designing sound, lighting and everything else, so...
It's very exciting.
They obviously know more about it than me, but I'm not worried about it.
So listen, when does it open?
We open on our first previews on the 17th December. They're sold out already. I think there's some tickets left to the preview on the 18th, and then opening night is on the 19th, and we play through to Australia Day.
It was incredible. And how many shows a week?
We play from Tuesdays through to Sundays, and the kids' shows on Thursdays and on the weekends.
Brilliant. How do we get tickets?
On Sticky Tickets, and it's a great new ticketing system that everyone will find nice and easy. It's really fantastic. Stickytickets.com.au.
Sensational. Now, I also know we had a little chat in the green room just beforehand that there's still an opportunity for sponsors to come on board if they're interested. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Jason?
Oh, look, fantastic. Thank you for suggesting it. We've got a fantastic major sponsor with Mercedes-Benz in Mornington. And Chris and the guys down there are absolutely fantastic. He's a gentleman. If anybody else from local businesses on the Mornington Peninsula would like to get involved, they can contact us on Facebook at the Cabaret Cathedral.
Brilliant. Well, we can't wait to see it. Really good luck to you. It's very exciting. Thank you so much for putting all your energies in down here. I think it's very timely that we've got a little bit more theatre.
You both will be opening night VIP, so get your sequins out and I'll see you there.
Thanks so much for coming in to Arts About Today, Jason Coleman.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
The fabulous, fabulous Captain Matchbox. Do you remember that song, John?
Forgive me, Sally, I wasn't at the mic.
It's quite all right. Hernando's Hideaway, one of my
favourites.
I do
remember the band, of course I do.
Yeah, they were terrific, weren't they? Now, next up we have photographer Celie Brandt. Celie she's had a lifetime behind the lens. She's been taking photos since her early childhood in Melbourne, spurred on no doubt by the influence of her father, Brian Brandt, who ran a very successful advertising photography studio and also started CPL, which if you were a photographer in Melbourne at any time over the last 20 or 30 years, you would know CPL.
Or in fact, if you were me, Roger and I at CPL have a very deep and meaningful commercial relationship.
Of course you do, John. Celie, like her father, has worked in the advertising industry, travelling the world and settling for some time in Singapore. But while she was there, Celie discovered that portraits were her thing, and in the world of digital photography, she is bucking the trend, shooting black and white film. Singapore Tatler listed her as the best family portraitist 3 years in a row, and she's decided to return to Australia and has settled in Melbourne. And next weekend, her exhibition of prints will give you a taste of some of her talents. This exhibition is on at Merrick's House Art Gallery. She's in the studio with us today to tell us why that works for her. Good morning, Celie.
Good morning, Sally. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming into Arts About. Now, Celie, Life in Monochrome, the exhibition at Merrick's House opens next weekend. What are we going to see there?
Oh, if I told you, I might have to kill you. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to see a beautiful exhibition of Mongolia. I went to Mongolia with two other girlfriends for 1 month living off the land. And horseback riding. We're all riders. Mm. And we rode over 2,000 kilometres following the path of Genghis Khan. And literally living off the land. So it was an extraordinary life-changing trip to say the least, and one of the most exciting adventures I've certainly ever had.
Oh, I bet. How long did 2,000 kilometres take?
1 month.
Wow.
Yeah, so no showers, no toilets, completely away from the, you know, normal life, and it was like going back 5,000 years. So a friend of mine, Rachel Hughes, who's based in Monaco, who's a polo rider, instigated the trip. And then thanks to my husband, he said, you've got our full support. We'll see you in a month or so and go and take great pictures. So I wanted to come away with it with an exhibition of really how people live there. And we're all horsey girls, so that was a big draw to it. And we also turned into a fundraiser for the Riding for the Disabled.
Oh, wow. Now, many would say you're fighting the tide by choosing black and white film in the world of digital. So what do you get from black and white photography that you obviously don't want from other forms?
Well, I'm a quality girl, and I'll be honest in saying that I was very inspired by a series of portraits my father took of me when I was young. I was about three. And I've still got them today, and I've got 14 life-size poster prints. And if they weren't shot on film, they wouldn't be around today. So I've also got other images of in colour and colour fades. So it's the quality of a silver gelatin print that rocks my boat, and also the grain that photography that on film still brings, unlike digital. It's a very, very different feeling.
So so has that been a journey that's taken you to that point, to realise that, that there's a quality there, or that, that somehow or other that is what rocks your boat?
Well, I guess the journey really is, yes, it's true. It's a nice question to ask. I had a dark room at home when I was about 10, and I had one at school as well. So I spent a lot of time in there, and the magic that appears and happens in a dark room is priceless. But it's really the quality. My pictures are very much about people and who they are, and I really try and capture the soul of every family and every child that I photograph, or every person. It's not just about a pretty picture. It's not about false smiles. It's actually trying. My role is to really peel back the onions and really get to the core of who someone is. So, and then shooting on film and printing by hand, then they'll last generations. They're beautiful.
Now, like most artists, you've had a business career as well, and you've worked in advertising. But obviously gravitated towards the portraits. How you've spent some time in Singapore most recently, and I think I read in your on your website that you've taken up to 1,000 portraits, family portraits, and this has sort of led you down this path. So working with children, I've got to say it's not one of the things that I would choose. It sounds like absolute hell, but apparently this is something you're really good at.
I think in the world of photography, it's probably the bottom of the ladder. But I also love that because I love a challenge. And to be honest with you, I find it effortless. I think I'm a child that's never really grown up. So when I'm with children and with adults, to say that, I think everybody wants to be a child. I think it's very overrated being an adult. Mm. So I create a really beautiful space that's very safe for people to be themselves, and turn the music up, and I just turn it into this really fun. It's almost like a play date, and I think adults really respond to that really well, because we spend too much time of our lives being too serious and taking life just too seriously.
Too seriously.
So it's really nice to just let go and just be yourself for a while and have fun.
Celie, it was very refreshing earlier for me to hear you talking about the end result qualities of photograph from film and onto silver gelatin. And for me, it's a matter of some of the most, well, in fact, all of the most beautiful photographs I've ever seen are in black and white on silver gelatin prints. And the point being that if you can mix up the depth of field and get the surface right on the print, there is nothing better really in photography. And I think a lot of people look at those photographs and they just think, well, how did they do that? They don't think to themselves, I might take a line of inquiry here and find out what's going on and what, how that result was achieved. But they just look at it and are bedazzled by it. They are particularly beautiful.
I agree with that. It's interesting, even though you don't have to have a degree in photography, all my clients, when they get the end result and the prints, and other friends of theirs see them on the wall, without a doubt, they know there's something special, but they can't quite pick it. They're just like, wow.
Well, particularly when you're photography these days is not only what you do, but it's also the phone on a stick stuff, and you know, everybody takes photographs because they've got a camera in their pocket all the time. So photography has become a kind of a life record rather than a an instrument of some sort of creative effort.
I think what's important too, and I think what my work shows to a lot of people is, you're absolutely right in saying that, and everyone, you know, there's a lot of people that consider themselves a photographer, but it's really to create that moment of intimacy is a talent, and that's a people skill, and that's something that you can't learn. And then to capture that on film when you can't see instant results requires skill. So it's a combination of creating that moment and also using a lot of skill. And then also working with a printer is a very important step, like you were talking about, Roger. One of the couple of the prints I've actually got on show are massive, enormous, 1 by 1.5 meter images that have come from a 35mm neg.
Right.
And I've never printed them so large, and they are spectacular.
Yeah, I bet.
They'll be on show.
Are these the Mongolian ones?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also I've done one of my children of a special client, a recent client in Melbourne. And I'll also be giving talks every Sunday at about 3 o'clock.
At the Merricks House Art Gallery?
Yes, and about photography and printing and just capturing moments. And anyone who's interested in photography and people and travel should come.
Because the exhibition, I know that there is the Mongolian ones, but there's also photographs of children, aren't there?
Yes.
In the exhibition. Yeah. And also a hunt, I think, a UK
hunt. Well, I'm a horse rider, obviously. Of course, that's why I went to Mongolia. So, and the Mornington Peninsula is all about riding. We used to have a property down there. So I was a member at the Mainridge Pony Club. So I've been riding all my life. So connecting the lifestyle and the land and people and horses is my thing.
Well, Life in Monochrome, Celie Brandt's exhibition, opens at Merricks Art Gallery on Saturday the 5th of December. And I think it runs through till the end of December, doesn't it?
Yes, Celie? And the opening's at 3 p.m. and anyone and everyone is welcome that wants to come and see the work.
We'll get down there. We'll put a link on the Facebook page. You can see more of Celie's work if you go to her website page, which is Celie Brandt Photography, is that correct?
Correct.
.com.au or just .com?
The website's celiebrandt.com and the Facebook page is Celie Brandt Photography.
Okay, well, there's a million ways to find it out. We'll also put a link on
Not
our Facebook page.
Not quite a million,
page.
Sally.
All right then. No, you're right. It isn't a million. 999,000. There's quite a few of them. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us. Good luck with the exhibition. I'm really looking forward to getting down there and seeing it. Thank you, Celie Brandt.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Celie.
Thank you.
And now it's time for John On.
And so it is.
I'm really looking forward to this,
well,
John.
Bernard Buffet, a French artist, and particularly in the kind of graphic world, he was a kind of interesting guy. He, for a number of reasons, one, he was, I find this odd, many people won't, perhaps, but he had a boyfriend when he was young in his early part of his career who left him for Yves Saint Laurent or someone like that. And then he thought, well, I've had enough of that. I'm going to get married and have children, and spent the rest of his life quite happily married and fathering his children. But he was into that kind of very thin line, reproducible drawings and paintings, and made a lot of prints of them. He was very commercial in many ways. But oddly, spookily similar to the early work of John Brack, which is where John Brack comes into this. And you can look at a Bernard Buffet image of a woman or someone sitting in a chair, and it is so Brack-like that it's kind of amazing.
Are they contemporaries? I'm just trying to get the...
Yeah.
Bernard
Buffet a little earlier, perhaps, than Brack. And one assumes that John Brack had looked at Buffet images and liked them and decided to use some of that in his own work. But another thing that they shared was a particularly beautiful dusty pink. Brack was particularly good at it, and with his practice in making images of competitive ballroom dances, which is a great subject actually. I like the tuxedo and the ball gown with the numbers on the back.
Yes,
it's a kind of a beautiful thing. And he really loved that pink, a soft, dusty pink, which he moved and pushed into a very hard, bright pink. And when I was at art school, a friend of mine there, and Simon Rigg and I, were looking at these pinks that Brack had been using and some of the Buffet pinks as well, and thinking about whether or not pink was something was being sort of regularly used in art around Melbourne, apart from John Brack. And we're interested in the idea of pink being promoted.
Mm.
And we decided that a good way to do this would be to go down to... They just built a new fountain down at opposite the NGV in the gardens there, which when turned on had a big kind of... ring of water jets and a smaller ring of water jets.
I know the one, yes.
It's like a kind of a blancmange.
Yes.
Well,
I think soap's been poured into that.
Well,
on occasions,
we went down there and, in fact, put about 4 litres of detergent into it and a litre of red food dye.
And, and made the pink.
We weren't sure what was going to happen, but the result was a pink detergent foam that sort of came up within the fountain, and it continued to grow. And this thing, you know how detergent foam can sort of take on a shape of its own and keep going upwards and get quite tall?
Yes, and then bits of it blow off.
Yeah, well, this thing sort of it ended up being about the size of a suburban house, this big sort of pink foam block.
How much soap did you put in?
About 4 litres.
Right.
Well, that's the recipe if anyone's interested. <Poor leaders. laughs>
Not that we want to encourage that sort of thing on Arts About.
What was happened next was quite interesting, actually. This big foam block got a kind of a bit of a breeze behind it from the east, and it sort of rolled gently off the top of the fountain, a great big lump of it, and rolled out into the middle of the intersection of St Kilda Road. And the roads that run around next to the gallery there. The first tram that came along refused to penetrate the foam.
So you caused a traffic jam?
Well, ultimately, yeah. So we got out there and started to break it apart. So we were sort of in the middle of the intersection pushing foam off the road so that people could get on with their business.
And pink
completely,
foam,
I must add, completely refusing to acknowledge that we'd caused the foam in the first place.
Of course you were. People would have done this?
People were suggesting they didn't want to put their car into it because they might get pink stains on their cars. But I mean, I wouldn't drive a car through it either. You can't see inside it.
No, you don't know what's on there. Yeah, it could be something dangerous in the middle.
Yeah.
How fabulous.
But I've noticed it does happen sort of on an almost regular basis these
days.
Yes,
which is what I was referring to, as I think I've seen that before.
Beautiful colours.
Yeah, I've seen a blue one, I'm sure, a blue one.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of a pink one. Were the bubbles pink too?
Well, the whole thing was pink, pale pink, not that hard, bright pink that Brack achieves, but a beautiful, pale, dusty pink. I loved it. I loved every moment of it, actually.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It sounds like a gas.
That cliff I can see over there.
Yeah, Cliff's walked in. Our fabulous, fabulous leader. Good morning, Cliff Ellen, writer, commentator, agitator, and even more than that.
Good morning, Sally, and
hello.
Good morning, John.
Morning, Cliff.
What are you talking about, bubbles? What pink bubbles?
In the fountain on St Kilda Road. They put soap powder, soap detergent.
John's got a fascinating life. He comes up with these stories. Yet you never know what to look at him. He's got all these things
that
have
gone
on in his
history. Normal, doesn't he? But
he's not. He looks quite distinguished, actually.
Yeah.
And he speaks well, too. So, you know, you don't know. Underneath all that, there's something there, something wild.
Well, Cliff, my ambition is, of course, to have people enjoy listening to what I'm saying. And my other ambition is not to have it too much tempered by people's dislike of mendacity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that. I'll just check up on what mendacity means later. Look, I wondered about something. Now, drones, I don't want to talk political, but the Americans use drones in Iraq and all the rest of it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But so do the filmmakers to do their high shots. So if the filmmakers use drones, why can't ISIS use drones?
I'm sure they do.
Do they?
Well, yeah, probably.
I don't know. It's beyond me. Perhaps I could have a drone to, you know, shoot off all these little schoolies that are here at present, sort of thing.
Oh, you know. You're getting bothered by schoolies.
Oh,
already,
no, I quite love them. It's just that I'm useless, as you know. So it's a case of just look and try to look away, sort of thing.
Yes.
Jerry's Girls. What's that? Who's that? Art Centre, isn't it? Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Big raps. Got 4.5 stars from Cameron Woodhead.
Right, and who's in it?
You know, all those dancers, whatever their names are. I can't remember their names.
Oh, okay.
They're all the stars.
I tell
Nancy
you what,
Hayes, of course.
Yes.
That big, tall, 8-foot dancer who's in everything. I can't think of her name.
Rhonda Birchmore, yes.
Yes, and look, they got a standing ovation.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah, which is more than what Last Man Standing got, written by Steve Vizard, with Paul Grabowski and Alison White and Nikki Wendt. And that went very bad. But then again, It did have William McGuinness in it. So, you know, what can you expect? Sort of thing.
Hey, I tell you what, I nearly gave a standing ovation.
In the newspaper, it said, due to popular demand, new seats just released. excuse me. Yes, Sally, I tipped in.
Well, I nearly gave a standing ovation to The Dressmaker. I went and saw that the other night.
Yeah.
Isn't it fabulous?
I
think they might
that.
Have used drones in that too. Did you like that?
I left that film completely understanding what Salvador Dali was on about when he'd seen a film and said, I was just about to make that movie.
It was really great,
wasn't it?
That
was my film,
it?
That one.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. It was so unexpected, actually. I really did not anticipate it and absolutely adored it. I'd go back and see it again, I think, and you can't say that very often, can you?
No, and I was really happy to see the AACTA, I don't know what that is. What is it? Australian Actors and Cinema Television Awards. Well, they've announced that they're going to have 3 days of meet the nominees, which is great. Sort of they'll film it before these nominations for Best Film comes on. I believe it's going to be filmed on December the 9th. I could be wrong. But the three nominees are Jocelyn Moorhouse, of course, in The Dressmaker, which is fantastic. Jeremy Sims in Last Cab to Darwin. And Neil Armfield in Holding the Man. So this is good. I'm connected with all three of them many years ago.
Yeah.
But still, it'll be good. I look forward to that.
Well, you've been giving them all a rap on Arts About, I might point out as well.
Yeah, well, it's I just like the idea of actor doing that.
Yeah.
Doing 3 days on each person and giving us a good insight into the people and what their problems were making the film, et cetera, et cetera. Might be a good show. Who knows?
Is that on TV?
Well, I'm assuming it is. Possibly Foxtel.
Oh, it'll probably be on Foxtel and we never get that.
Yes, that's right. No Tropfest? You heard about that, did you?
I did hear about No Tropfest. Mismanaged funds. That's terrible, isn't
it? Mismanaged funds and, well, you know, 16 filmmaker finalists or something. Four of the 16 filmmaker. No, there's 16, yeah. They've all made those films and they can't show them.
Can't show them, no.
They can come to Rosebud.
Well, they can. And you know what? Because they are. They've put a call out for more films. So I think you can still submit 8-minute films to the Peninsula Short Film Festival until the 18th of December. So there's a couple of weeks.
Well, the one at Rosebud's fantastic.
The one at Rosebud is just amazing. Steve Bastoni. I think we better get him in again quickly over the next couple of weeks if we can. Steve Bastoni.
Okay.
We might perhaps we'll put a call through to him. He's a busy man.
I'd like to make an 8-minute film of Cliff, actually. Just like 8 minutes of the camera looking at his face.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, they're being rude.
No, we're not.
There is another film out. I think it opened. If it didn't open yesterday, it'll open this week. It's called Sucker. I heard an interview with John Fane and he raved about it. It's an Australian film.
Mm-hmm. Sucker?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, so I couldn't look it up.
Sucker
I tried Google and it didn't work.
Oh, well, I wonder if it's S-U-C-C-O-U-R.
Well, I would have thought so, yeah.
Or maybe it's S-U-C-K-E-R.
I don't know. But I've...
Or maybe it's S-U-C-K-H-E-R.
Yeah. Did you make a remark there, Cliff, about looking it up, looking Sucker up?
Bugging up Google, they don't know what to do now. They probably think Sucker is sexual or something, you know.
So, well, you do have the new computer.
I do, but the printers, I can't work it out. I mean, I've got stuff here printed, but, you know, I need to adjust all the thingos.
Is it a new printer as well?
Yes, my son put it in and
They're a devil for using the ink, those things.
No, this is one of the...
New printers.
Mm.
No, this is one of those other ones that doesn't use the ink.
Doesn't use ink?
You know, it's one of those other printers. What do you call it?
Laser printer.
Laser printer.
Yes.
Mm. It does about 1,000 pages per thingo. Mm. And he bought me one of those plus a replacement. But, of course, I think I've already mucked it up somehow.
Oh, I'm sure you haven't. But honestly, they say... How easy are these things to put together? I always get confused. There's always some ambiguous instruction that I've overlooked or something.
Well, it took my son 4 hours to get it exactly how I wanted it, you know. I mean, you know, I need bigger words. I can't see otherwise.
Mm.
If you watch a computer for 2 or 3 hours and you're straining your eyes and then you go and watch television, it's a blur. So, you know, health. You want to know about the Sydney Festival?
Yeah, go on. Tell us about
January
Sydney Festival.
January 7th to 26th. Who have we got? Levin Bertels, it's his last as a director. Wojcik is his outstanding feature thing. Buchner, German dehumanising effects of doctors and the military on a young man's life, etc., etc. A big free concert in the Domain on the opening weekend. A screening of the Academy Award-winning film Birdman. Was that... Yeah, we've seen that, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah. I saw that just recently. I really liked it. Michael Keaton.
Meow Meow's Little Mermaid will make its world premiere in Sydney before coming to the Malt House. So I might go back to the Malt House and see that. Who knows? I mean, it's a spooky old place. The centrepiece of the Festival Village, which continues with 2 Spiegel tents, concerts, theatres, cabaret and circus. Get up to Sydney if you want to walk amongst the beautiful people.
When's it open? Is that coming up in the next week or two, isn't it? It's starting?
No, the festival starts on January 7th.
It's not till January the 26th. Mm.
And it's a good space to be in, provided you, keep clear of certain areas of Sydney. That's about all, I think.
Yeah, okay. So tell me, what are you going to do for the rest of the afternoon?
And I think all you would-be actors out there, get on to AussieTheatre.com.
Aussie Theatre.
It's got everything there for you. You know what's going on. It's a plethora of items relating to all types of theatre, performing, interviews, articles. Pretty simple if you're on the computer. AussieTheatre.com.
Okay.
What am I doing?
What are you doing this afternoon, yes?
Oh,
no idea?
I don't know, no.
Huh.
No, I'll look up what Sakal means.
Yeah, okay then. Now tell me, what about a song? You must have a song for us this week.
Well, I have, but I haven't written it down on my computer, but it's probably my favourite song. They shoot horses, don't they? One of my top 3 favourite songs ever.
Is it?
Very few people like it.
Oh.
But you can
Ian McNabb,
that.
Isn't
it? Ian McNabb.
Well, gorgeous. We should give it a listen. And
we'll give it
beautiful
a blow.
Phil. Mm. Beautiful. Many years ago, Gig Young in the film. Beautiful. Oh.
That's thanks for coming in, Cliff.
Goodbye, all. Goodbye, ladies. Is it Merry Christmas yet?
Not yet, no.
No, okay.
Cheerio.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks for that compliment, John.
See ya.
It's time for the news, John.
Yeah.
Have we got any?
I've got a little bit in front of me here.
Okay.
The Short Film Festival is calling for entries.
Yes, indeed.
And we just mentioned this, but Saturday, the 6th of February is when the festival will be showing. The entries, you can still put in entries now up until December the 18th.
Yes.
And we've all got a movie camera on us.
Yeah, we should all be out there making films. It is a fabulous festival. Merrick's General Store Art Gallery is opening next week with Celie Brand's photography on Mongolia and more. She was in earlier on the show today.
Yeah, and they sound terrific. I'm a big fan of black and white film photography.
Mm.
And I'll get down there and have a look at those.
Tom Roberts opens next month at the NGV. In fact, I think next month. It's in a week or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go and have a look at Ramming the Shears. Mad if you don't.
Yeah, crazy. Justine McNamara's new exhibition, Milk Bar Days, will be showing still at the Gallery Sorrento,
yep.
Ocean Beach Road in Sorrento. You better go down and have a look at that.
I haven't been down there and had a look. I was, when it opened, I was going to go, but I was up in Melbourne doing something similar. But I'm going to go in and have a look, and I'll talk about that one after I've done that.
That's fantastic,
The
yes.
Salon de Refusé at the MPRG.
Yes, I think it's only open till the end of the day today.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's closing this afternoon. So get down there this afternoon. If you're in Mornington and you haven't seen it, you are crazy.
The McCulloch's.
Yes, the fabulous McCulloch's.
Yeah.
They've got a Sunday, next Saturday, December the 5th, they have got a Christmas salon with quirky and colourful Aboriginal paintings, carvings, weavings and ceramics, plus a wide range of licensed homewares and other goodies. Oh, okay. So some great Christmas presents. Get onto their website, McCulloch and McCulloch.
I went to the Roger Kemp show.
Oh, did you? Was it fabulous?
Yep.
It looks like there's a lot of stuff there.
Well, it's not a crowded show, but there's a lot of art there.
Of course there is.
Yeah, Roger is a master at the particular type of painting that he decided to pursue, and they're just beautiful blues and greys and all of that complex mathematical structure that he was into. I have to say, absolutely beautifully, I don't like mentioning this necessarily, I don't mind mentioning it, but it's not something I'd normally do, but beautifully framed by Rod Eastgate.
Well, he's a bit of a master at that. I know he's done some beautiful framing on your work, John.
Yeah, he's very good at it.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely got a style. Well, he knows what he knows how to suit work, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now, the 44th Mornington Art Show is going to be held in January. It's towards the end of January, 21st, I think it starts. It's the second largest art show in Victoria. I think they hang over 800 paintings there. Opening night, big gala party on the 21st of January, and all the funds go to support the local and international Rotary projects. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm sure there will be promotions around the town for that. Mornington Art Show coming up.
The Peninsula Summer Music Festival. It's imminent. It comes up in January. The program's out, so have a look and see what's on there for you.
If you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. Catch up with the show via a podcast, which should appear on the station website sometime tomorrow, or hear us repeated on Wednesday on air and streaming at 12 o'clock after Health Matters with Angela Jacobson. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP webpage. So please join us again next Sunday. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art.
At least Sally knows what she likes.
Yeah.